The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio today with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, Avon Coburn. And today's show is presented by our friends at Parmar and the Masters Law Firm. We're getting ready to get into the backyard brawl, but first we're going to talk a little about Duquesne and West Virginia nighttime in series history. West Virginia over Duquesne yesterday, 56-17. Over 50,000 people on hand at the beginning of the game. Probably 50 people at the end. The second ever rain delay in stadium history, and it was miserable.
I can imagine that. That had to be the worst. You're playing Duquesne. You start off super slow. I know you're like, oh my goodness, this is, I'm going home.
I'd have left as well through a weather delay, because it's on the radio, and I mean the weather delay was, what, an hour and 47 minutes or 54 minutes or
Michael
something?
Michael has it down to the second.
It was a total of hour 54 minutes, and it was long up there in the press box. Fortunately, Alabama and Texas was on, and they had a whole buffet. I binge ate for like 3 hours.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was tough. Luckily, you come out and play way better out of the break.
Yeah, super sluggish start. West Virginia was only up 14-10 at the time of the weather break. But, you know, I'd rather for something. I would have been really discouraged if they came out flat after the weather break. But they came out, somebody probably said a few four-letter words, and they got it going.
It looked like a very lot of four-letter words were said.
And, I mean, they turned it around. That was the beautiful thing about it. I love the fact that they just responded. I mean, there are questions that I still have with our defense, but I'm pretty sure we'll talk about it. But if we don't, then I'm still disappointed in the way our DBs are playing. And we play Duquesne, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, they should not get off the ball. I mean, yeah, they have athletes, but, I mean, we should be so far more superior.
The concern is there's guys running free. And, right. And it is Duquesne. I mean, like, if Duquesne's getting open, then these teams down the line, you know, right, their receivers are going to get open. Yeah. And there was one there, a guy threw a jump ball up the sidelines. A better receiver would have probably made the catch for a better team. He threw a perfect jump ball.
I thought the same thing.
And I looked at my brother. I said, a better receiver is going to catch that ball. I said, that's trouble down the road. I said, it's still trouble. I mean, it's just the defense, the secondary has a lot of issues. That's to put it like in the easiest terms ever, because everybody sees it.
Yeah, I was going to talk defense in the second segment, but we're here now, so let's talk about it. I thought the defensive line was dominant yesterday. I think this is one of the better units we've seen in quite some time in West Virginia. Now, I'm talking against not only Duquesne, but I'm talking against Penn State. I thought they played well last week. So we're going to continue to see how they develop, and they could be the saving grace, because if they can get pressure on the quarterback, which they did a few times yesterday, especially with some of the blitz packages, caused the guy to misfire, and the mistakes on the back end were covered up by the misfire from the quarterback.
Yeah, I believe that our front seven played phenomenal. I think they might have had negative yards rushing, you know what I mean, on the ground. And that, to me, was phenomenal, because we need help. We need to apply pressure. And I don't know if we could have got there. I think we got there a couple times with four. But, again, against Penn State, you know, we didn't show up that way.
Well, that's against Penn State. He kept rushing three on second and long, third and long. You cannot, with a secondary this poor, the best option you have is to pressure. You have to pressure the quarterback. Anybody's going to be able to stand back there and pick apart a defense if they have enough time. So, and against this secondary, you know somebody's getting open. I mean, you know they are. So you have to get to the quarterback. I wasn't paying close attention last night on second, third, and longs if they were sending pressure or not, but I agree with you guys. You got to get pressure.
Jared Bartlett's been big in that respect at the bandit position. We need him to continue to produce. And I think Sean Martin, number 91, stepped up as well.
Yeah, he played. He played extremely well. He played extremely
His name was called several times.
Yeah, and he's showing up.
They, I think you alluded to it. I think it. They at one point were like minus 25 or 30 yards rushing.
Right.
They just couldn't do anything with the guys up front, which is a good sign. And that's the kind of dominance that we talked about last week going into this week was these are the things that you need to see moving forward. And we saw it.
And that's what you want to see against Duquesne. Like, that's what we were saying. I wanted to see a shutout. I mean, that was what I wanted to see. Obviously, they didn't get it, but.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously they started off a little sluggish. Muff punt, you know, then the defense kind of gave up that. They gave up a couple plays here and there, but sometimes you're going to get hit, you know, for stuff. But, you know, a shutout would have been great. We got them against Towson. Long Island, I think we shut out. Did we shut Towson out? I don't remember.
But anyway, I thought we beat Towson 65-7 or something like that.
They scored late. Yeah. But I thought the linebacker play was better this week. I'm still waiting for somebody to kind of just step up and be the man. I want to see, like, I'm waiting for Koba just to go nuts.
Yeah, Koba didn't show up at all. I mean, he made plays, but he wasn't a factor like I thought he would be.
I'm fine with that. He can take off against Duquesne.
I want to see plays. I want our best players to dominate and get on the scoreboard and put points. I mean, that's a stat game. That's where you want to pad your stats. So when you go to the tougher teams, you can kind of, not that you're going to relax, but you know you got four sacks in the bag.
And now you're like, okay. Stat game, he says.
Yeah, stat game.
You know what's interesting? One thing we talk about the defensive backs, and then we'll come back and talk offense after the break. In the last 24 games, our defense has had 12 interceptions.
That's one every other game. That surprises me. Maybe they're just in the wrong place at the right time.
Well, like last night, the quarterback late threw that little limp-wristed pass across the middle and just got it picked off. Yeah. I mean, noodle-armed it out there. But, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to step up on the defensive backfield, so we shall see.
That's another thing, though. I'm fine with giving up plays every now and then if we force turnovers. The more I can see, like, the first game there when he went to dive to try to intercept and he gave up the big play. Just force turnovers.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. Don't forget, when we come back, we're going to talk offense. But later in the show, our 1993 interview is with Aaron Beasley from the undefeated 93 team. And we'll do all that after this on the Touchdown City Show.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Green 18, green
18. The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football. And remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Touchdown City Show. Don't forget later in the show to listen for the Text to Win question, Alumni Hall question of the week, the number 304-9696-TDC, win a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. All right, let's talk about the offense. Obviously, the star of the game is Hudson Clement, right? I mean, this kid comes out of nowhere, redshirt freshman, didn't even have a scholarship. They tell him 5 minutes before the game, oh, yeah, by the way, you're starting. And
went off.
Goes nuts.
Went off. I had no idea who this kid was. I was like, who is this guy? And I mean, 70 yards here. I'm like, wow, this cat is going off. And West Virginia, Randy Moss Award winner.
Yeah. Randy Moss and Hudson Clement in the same sentence. That's all that needs to be said. That's all it needs. No. Congratulations to him for taking advantage of his opportunity. You know, he caught the football. That's what you want. He was open and caught the football. That's what you want out of a receiver. I think he should play moving forward just to see what he has. I mean, he can't be any worse than what we've seen out of Browns receivers for the last, what, 3 or 4 years. I mean, he at least caught the ball.
I don't care who they put out there as long as they catch the football. Right.
Showed some nice bursts of speed, like you said, took advantage of the opportunity, held on to the football. 3 touchdowns, 14 yards, 46 yards, 70 yards. And he understands what this program is supposed to be. He's an in-state kid. This could be a nice burst of energy. I'd love to see him get another opportunity.
He was 5 for 177. I don't know what the receiving yardage record is at WVU. I'm sure it's Stedman against Baylor for like 311. Mm-hmm. I thought he might get that for a while because like I was like, he's getting so open. If they keep throwing it to him, he's going to – but then I was like, well, maybe not. But, you know, he should have been offered probably out of high school. He caught 9 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns in a state championship game. He isn't any – I mean, to me, he's as good as I've seen Neil Brown have on his roster. I don't know why he wasn't offered out of high school.
Yeah, I asked him about that state title game. He said it was a similar feeling last night when things started to get rolling, and he really took over the game.
Yeah, he did. He played very well.
Over 600 yards offense last night, which is surprising out of Neil Brown team. But Garrett Green looked really good. Yeah, I'm out gut punching him like Sussman did in the press conference. Garrett Green was 10 of 18, 240 yards, four touchdowns passing. First time since Will Greer has done it in I think, 18. What do you guys think of Garrett Green on the bounce back?
I think he played well, but I mean, there's still, you know, he's throwing the ball high. Like he's below average for me. I don't think he's a good passer. I don't think he's the guy for us. I'm gonna be honest with you. Just watching him play the throws he should have made, I wouldn't say easy because I'm not a quarterback. There's nothing easy.
The layups,
but you know, out routes, he should be able to hit those. Those are routines, and you know, he didn't impress me at all. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I mean, he got the ball to him exactly. You know, he did what he was supposed to do against an inferior opponent. I still want to see him do it against a better opponent. I don't know I still don't think he's the answer either. I do think he is below average quarterback as well. But he did what he was supposed to do last night.
He put the ball on the money down the field. They talked a lot about how he is missing those layups, those short throws. I think Cole Taylor is Mr. Layup. Look for the underneath routes. Look for the tight ends.
Absolutely. I think that'd be great. But, I mean, is he going to get it to him? Like, I mean, he throws bad screen passes, bad out routes.
You know, the one thing about the issue for him, he's 5'11". And so they've got to do a better job with the X's and O's to get him moving the pocket so he can see downfield better. He's not going to be a good dropback passer for you because it's like trying to stand in your garage 2 feet away from your garage door and throw the ball downfield. These guys stand up. They're 6'4", 6'5". These arms go up. You can't see downfield. So they just need to do a better job of getting him, rolling him out so he can see downfield. But Avon, I do want to talk to you about this running back room because we saw more of what things that we didn't even expect to see yesterday. And obviously Donaldson does his thing. Jalen Anderson does his thing. But let's talk about Jaheim White and, you know. And
Deuce.
He reminds me of you.
I love his patience. I love his bursts. I mean, in the size, I was looking at him like, I actually watched my Virginia Tech game before the first game last week. And I'm like, man, I was just quick, twisted, and moving. That kid he moved very, very well. He was very fluid. He was patient. Because when they brought in number 20, I can't remember his name, he just was stick. He was not patient at all. Like, he just shoved it up in there. And it just wasn't as fluid. And when Deuce came in there, I mean, it was refreshing. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, wow, this is really nice to see.
These are guys are a good change of pace to Donaldson, who you can use to just physically pound people,
right?
And then you put in a quick shifty guy, and he can maybe hit that hole and take a home run to you. But it comes in handy to have guys like that to have some depth, and because the running back room, those guys take a beating all year long, and if you can keep them all fresh later in the season, it's going to be to your advantage,
right? Especially when it gets cold.
Yeah, I thought, you know, with Donaldson, I guess he got a little tweak there. Then they put Anderson in for a few series. It's good to see Donaldson come back in, but my thing was putting back on the shelf and let's get these young guys some action. I was really happy with Jaheim White as well. And also, what's the true freshman, the guy that got the touchdowns late?
Was it Gibson?
No, I have to look him
Hang
up.
Hang on, but, I'll look him up.
Well, we don't have that much time. So it was just good to see the running backs do what they do. Deep running back room, and like you mentioned, it's going to take some time.
Oliver.
It's going to take an entire season. You're going to have to get through this entire season with this roster.
Yeah, to me, I feel like, you know, having a bunch of guys is good. I prefer to have an A guy because then you can get going, especially when you got a big, long strider guy. He needs to get carries. But it just doesn't seem like where we are right now, the value of a running back is being, you know, put on display anymore.
I mean, I love it with the change of pace. Like I said, Donaldson's going to be fantastic. You know what you're going to get. As long as one of those backups can come in there and be shifty quick, hit the hole and go, you're going to have something to work with.
Jaheim White was awesome. Just go down at the one. Don't lose it out of the back of the end zone on that touchback. That was the one mistake, but he looked like he could fly.
It was good to see. And of course, you know, I'm always happy when the running backs are out there getting it. So, hey, we're going to take a break. Michael's going to deliver his locker room report. And don't forget, later in the show, we'll hear from Aaron Beasley. And we'll do all that after this.
To hear more of the Touchdown City Show, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have three locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barboursville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salango. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salango Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salangolaw.com.
Hello, it's Michael Sussman here with today's Touchdown City Locker Room Report. The Mountaineers picked up their first win of the season Saturday, taking down Duquesne 56-17 at Milan Puskar Stadium. Here was head coach Neil Brown at the podium afterwards.
Winning's hard, and we made it harder than it needed to be at some points tonight. I appreciate all the fans that came and showed and came and stayed. Obviously, the weather was a factor, you know. Wasn't pleased with how we started. You know, these games are important because we got a lot of people to play. So there's a lot of video there showed on tape where they can potentially play more, and then some show they're not ready to play yet.
WVU made a critical mistake early in the first quarter when a short punt ricocheted off of Jacoby Spells to give the Dukes an extra possession. Duquesne capitalized moments later when QB Darius Perantes hit DJ Powell for a 38-yard touchdown. The WVU secondary was atrocious for another week, allowing Duquesne to hit 6 pass plays of 15 yards or more.
Yeah, that's concerning.
What's it going to take to clean
up those breakdowns? Yeah, that's we got to be better in the secondary. Like, that's, you know, our hope was we brought in some veterans and we were going to fix that. And quite frankly, we haven't done that through two games. And so we've got to go back to the drawing board. Now, we worked on some things last week that we didn't show in this game because who we got coming up. We got to get those things corrected. And some of it, man, some of it's just a little bit of when it's time to go play, we got to make plays. You know, we had guys falling down the first quarter, just falling down. And so we've got to play better.
Despite the secondary shortcomings, West Virginia held the Dukes to just 3 yards rushing. Jared Bartlett led the way for West Virginia with 4 tackles, a sack, and a TFL.
You need to start a little bit faster. That'll probably prevent a lot of those pass yards from being put on the board. As far as the run goes, just playing aggressive up front. So it shows up. Less rushing yards than passing yards. We'll continue to push forward, change that around, be stout on both ends.
On the ensuing drive, Mountaineer wide receiver Hudson Clement put the home team on the board with a 14-yard touchdown reception. The Mountaineers led it just 14-10 going into a 1 hour, 54-minute weather delay midway through the second quarter.
We just left them alone. We met as coaches for a minute, and I wasn't real pleased at the start of that. Probably the break was as good for me as anybody because I was at kind of a breaking point there with just how we played early. But we just really left the guys alone. And our offensive skill guys went there and caught balls. Sometimes you could tell after that. Sometimes you couldn't. But we caught a bunch of balls. Coach Mike, when we felt like pretty good that it was going to be the last 30-minute break, then we treated it like a halftime. And then we started our warm-up process inside and then carried it out onto the field. And that's hard to do.
The Mountaineers came out of the rain delay on a mission, and once again, Hudson Clement found the end zone. QB Garrett Green hit him in stride on a 70-yard TD dime.
Yeah, they were trying to play a little man with us, and you know he did a great job running the right route, and he got open, and you know luckily I put it on him.
It was crazy, you know. I'm going out running that route. It's a stutter and go, and I stutter him, and once I take off and I feel I got a few steps on him, I see Garrett throw the ball up, and you know I appreciate him for trusting me out there, you know, giving me a shot, and I just you know had to capitalize.
Clement finished the night with 177 yards and 3 scores.
Yeah, I mean that's the best feeling as a wide receiver, a little hat trick, and you know it worked perfectly, and then you're running down the field wide open, and you see the ball come, and you know you're gonna score. You know everything's like went how it was supposed to be. It's the best feeling as a receiver.
Hudson's outing was reminiscent of his 2021 state championship performance when the former Martinsburg Bulldog accounted for 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, after especially the third one, and, you know, it just feels, yeah, sort of feels like that feeling back then when I was in high school, and it, yeah, they felt very similar.
Garrett Green had success pushing the ball down the field, completing 10 passes for 240 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, all week, really, really, even in Penn State, I feel like I've been throwing it well, you know. And today was kind of the first game where off the bat I felt comfortable in the pocket.
No added motivation needed for this coming Saturday, with the Mountaineers set to welcome Pitt in the most recent edition of the Backyard Brawl.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Pitt. You know, I'm not from here, but you know, I like to say that you know I grew up here. You know, I was raised in Tallahassee, but, you know, I really grew up in West Virginia, became a man up here. So, you know, we don't like them and they don't like us. So, you know, we're fired up for it.
Oh, I mean, that's, you know, growing up, you see that rivalry all the time and you see the atmosphere and you just think about playing in it. You never really, like, actually think you could actually play in it.
This has been Michael Sussman with your Touchdown City Locker Room Report.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
Tired of carrying a plain old debit card? Get a custom card from Summit Community Bank. You can show off your unique style every time you make a purchase. Whether it's a photo of your family, your pet, or your favorite vacation spot, we'll put it right on your card. And when it comes to security and service, custom cards come with the same chip technology and our signature service beyond expectations. Upgrade your wallet today by stopping by your local branch. We're proud to be your hometown bank, Summit Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis, and I appreciate you guys taking the opportunity to check out the show this week. And as promised, joining us to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the undefeated 1993 regular season, at West Virginia is Mr. Aaron Beasley. Aaron, how are you, man?
I'm good, Anthony. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And we were talking a little bit before we hit the air here today. And you were saying you're down in Jacksonville now.
Yeah, I'm down here making some moves, trying to help the community, getting back involved in the Jacksonville Jaguars a little bit.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
That's where you started your career.
Yeah, man. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I went to a Jaguars Pittsburgh game. It was 1995, and my cousin was actually the defensive coordinator for the Steelers, Tim Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the game. Jacksonville got beat 28-3, and it was like, you know, just being there, seeing it, just like, man. It's like how close these games are, even though the score was that bad. It was like a couple of plays. It's like you realize how, you know, fine this game is. It's a fine-tuned game. Like one little mistake can turn to the momentum the other way, and it can go downhill quick.
Absolutely. Game of inches. Well, let's talk about it. You know, as I mentioned, it's the 30th anniversary of the undefeated 93 season at West Virginia. First of all, does it feel like it's been 30 years for you?
It zipped by, but I mean, I still can remember some of those great plays from that year. You know, we had a lot of great vets, a lot of great leadership. I was just playing my role. You know, people don't even realize I ran cross country in 10th grade. I didn't even play football. So football was just like a hobby.
Right.
And, you know, but when I got out there, you know, Mike Collins took me under his wing. You know, all the DBs took me under their wing, and I just would watch and learn. And, you know, I got to play in so many big games because back then the Big East was, I mean, we were tough. It was a tough conference. We were putting a lot of guys into the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, I went back yesterday, and so there was I was doing some reading and kind of watching some of the highlight films and just trying to reacquaint myself with the way the season went. And one of the things that stood out to me is I went back and just kind of researched that group of players was most of the same guys from 92 minus maybe like Compton and Adrian Morrell, but it was most of the same guys. But I mean, you're talking about within a year, this team grew up a whole lot and learned how to overcome adversity and win close ball games. Can you just talk about the transformation from 92 to 93?
Oh man, it was something because there was such a salty taste in our mouth because we left so many games out there. I mean, I think we had like two ties that year, my freshman year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the last game against Rutgers. It was like that taste sat in our mouth the whole off season. That was going into the 93 year, man. It was like everybody was working. It was like everybody was pushing to go for that, you know, that next level of where we can be because we had so many great players. I mean, our receiver room was good. Our running back, every room, there were some great players. And, you know, it was fun because, you know, like I said, man, I would just be out there competing and going against, like, Mike Baker, going against Jay Kearney and Ed Hill every day at practice. Man, that was lessons learned every day.
Well, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine last night. We were talking about that season, and it dawned on me as I was doing some of the research that that's probably one of the most underrated receiving corps in WVU history. I mean, you had three guys that were solid wide receivers, and Kearney could fly, you know, and Ed Hill was going to catch. I mean, it was they're definitely underrated.
Oh, man, it was like, it's kind of like when I went to the NFL, it was like, you know, every receiver role, of course, in the NFL because just the skill level. But I felt like I was going against pros every day. You know, Mike Baker, he had the energy. And, man, we were scrappy dogs. Like, it was funny. He gave me a nickname because my arms were so long. You know, I would come to practice every day like it was game day because I knew who I had to go against. So my mentality was like every play is game day. So I'd come out there dressed up like it was a game, and I used to act like prime time out there at practice, you know. And he gave me the nickname Leon Long Limbs. And he would just say it all the time. You know, just, you know, playing against guys like that, you know, you do your one-on-ones and, you know, you got stalk blocking drills. And it's like, we competed, man. Mm-hmm. And so it was like when you went to a game, you were ready because you would have went against the best all week.
You know, one of the things, obviously offenses are totally different today. Teams are putting up 35, 45, 55 points a game. In that era, you guys won some close games, 17, 14, a couple weeks. But one of the things that really stood out to me about this team as I went back and looked at it was in that era, everyone talks about the 96 defense, and rightfully so, obviously number one in the nation. But that group of guys before them, there were some dogs on that team. I mean, you're looking around. Could you just talk about the guys that you played with and again, probably underrated defense in the West Virginia era?
And that's the thing, like, you know, in that era, we were so blue-collar. Like, all of us were, like, you know, the also-rans. We weren't the four-stars and the five-stars, but we were, like, blood and guts type of players, you know? Like, all of us come from different backgrounds, of course, but, like, we all come from – you know, we all come from, like, hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, playing with guys like Perk, Barry Hawkins holding up the front, Canute got in there, we had Wiley. I mean, we had talent, man. I was so surprised that not a lot of guys got drafted from that defense, man. I swore Mike Collins was the first second-round safety. You know, he made plays. I mean, he made tackles, but you know, up there, they want to see you make plays and all that interception stats rule, you know. But Mike Collins was an NFL player. I played there. I see Mike Collins next to me.
Mm-hmm.
He belonged up there. I mean, it's like that's the thing, too. You know, guys like that, it trickled down into those next years, you know, because I was really supposed to be a part of that 96 defense, but I played as a true freshman.
Right.
But, you know, it trickled down because – you know, Perlo came in and filled my spot, but, like, it was the same mentality. Like, our defense ran things, like, at practice, at games. I mean, we were, like, true defensive team back then.
Yeah, I mean, just going across there, I mean, obviously, you in 93, you were playing as a sophomore. You know, Mike Logan's there. Van Washington is, of course, there playing behind Mike. What a great group of guys. And that defense will definitely it's kind of good that this is coming around because it's giving me a new respect for this football team that I've always respected. But as time goes by, you maybe forget some of the little things that this group of guys brought to the table. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, just the fact that it went week by week and there was always something. John Jones gets hurt. Jake pulls a hamstring, and there's this something week after week, a new challenge for this team, but you guys were able to overcome week by week and roll up 11 victories in the regular season.
That speaks a lot about Coach Nealon. You know, the recruiting back then, you know, we had guys that were ready to play. You know, the second string, he came in, you didn't see too much of a drop-off. So, you know, and that's one thing, like, we practiced so hard. And to me, it was fun. I used to have fun every day. And I think it carried over because our energy always went onto that field of, like, just we can't lose. We won't lose just because we believe so much. I mean, you think about even the last game, that Boston College game, you know, we were down and out. And Ed Hill made that touchdown. Logue sealed the game with the pick. I still got that picture with him on the knee with that ball up. I mean, that's looking across the field. I'm like, man, that's like the amigos. You know, we came in together, all four of us, the four amigos. And it was such an honor to play behind, you know, the older guys. I actually played with them. But then at the same time, once those guys left, I mean, that energy from the guys before us, it carried on.
Absolutely. And you talk about Boston College, and we just have a couple minutes left here on the radio, and we'll continue the podcast. For the listeners, you can always go back and listen to the extended interview on the podcast version of this. But Let's briefly talk about Boston College. You guys are down 14-3, I believe, late with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And it just, it just happens. You know, they fumble, you know, Darren leads you guys down the field. What was that experience like, the comeback? And can you, do you remember what was going on the sideline?
Guys, we just, I mean, it started off, we were so flat. I felt like, you know, we had the pressure because, you know, we win, we're undefeated, and, you know, we seal the deal. Hopefully we get into the national championship. But we just kept fighting, man. And it's a testament of that whole season. You know, there was a lot of games like that, that all we did was just keep fighting, never stop playing, play till that clock says zero. That was our mentality. And it was like we made a couple clutch plays. I remember I dropped the pick six. Oh, that game too. But, you know, just certain things. And then at the same time, I made a tackle, and I just had the guy's shirt, luckily, because he would have scored. It's like, because I went, it's like you just think sometimes there's little things that save games. And, you know, it's just playing to the end. You know, that's all we did all year.
We're joined by Aaron Beasley, one of the all-time greats at West Virginia University. And, again, we're going to continue our conversation. And for the radio listeners, if you want to hear more of it, head over to the Touchdown City Show and check out the podcast version. And we'll do that over there. You know, don't forget, later in the show, we're going to be doing the Alumni Hall trivia question. So make sure you stick around after this commercial break. And I'm going to continue my conversation with Aaron Beasley. And again, I'm going to encourage you to go over to the podcast version and listen to the extended conversation about the 1993 undefeated regular season in West Virginia. We'll be back.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master Tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind, to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling with the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never? Like never ever?
Yep, never ever.
That's actually fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at Huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Text the guys questions or comments at 304-9696-TDC. That's 304-9696-TDC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show, presented by our friends at Parmar and also the Masters Law Firm. Now, it's time for the Alumni Hall Question of the Week. Text us 304-9696-TDC, 304-969-6832. Question of the Week: who won the 1989 Pitt-West Virginia game? Who won the 1989 Pitt-West Virginia game? We're going into the backyard brawl, so I thought I'd give you a backyard brawl question, and that's for a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. All right, Michael, you got the sports headlines for us this week?
Absolutely. Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes go to 2-0 with a 36-14 win over rival Nebraska at home. They do it with defense this week, and they do it again.
I watched some of this game. Again, kudos to Deion Sanders, because Colorado's 1,000 times better. 2-0, great start. They're going to have Colorado State Saturday night. I think they're going to go to 3-0. I'm still not sure how good they are, and they have some tough games coming up, Oregon State, Oregon, USC. We'll see what they
do.
He don't
believe.
I mean, it's not that I don't believe. I just don't think they're as good as those teams. But I think – I mean, I'm not – they're much improved. I just don't think they're going to be able to beat those teams because I think their defense is still suspect.
Their defense isn't as good as it was. I mean, it isn't as good as they want it to be, but I believe. I think I believed when he went there because he has something. I've been talking about Deion for the last 3 days. He has something that a lot of coaches don't have, and he's just an absolute motivator.
And Texas knocks off Bama 34-24 in Tuscaloosa. Are the Longhorns back? They got to be.
We have this discussion every year. Guess you know what? I'm going to give them their back. I'll give them their back. They beat the team that seems to beat everybody. But no, in all honesty, I was very impressed with Texas last night. Their quarterback is very good, worthy at receiver, and they got a transfer from Georgia. He's number 5. I can't remember his name. He's fantastic, too. They have physical defensive line and offensive line. Texas looks like they look the part this year.
I was so happy when I saw that. I said, man, I'm glad we don't have to play them right now because they looked phenomenal.
I didn't get to watch the game, but, man, it just kind of signals a changing of the guard at the top a little bit to me.
Texas was impressive. That snapped Alabama's 21-game home win streak as well.
Yeah.
West Virginia storylines everywhere in this one. Rice knocks off Houston in overtime. JT Daniels with 401 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. It did take overtime. The Owls almost blew it. What'd you see in that one?
I didn't get to watch this game. I don't even know if it was televised, but I looked at the score, and it was 28-0 Rice. Then it was 28-all, and then it was in overtime. I saw Daniels had 400 yards. Mathis had 8 carries for 60 yards. If you're a Houston fan, how much longer does Dana Holgorsen last?
$20 million man. He's going to last a little bit longer. I don't think that program is on that level to kick a guy out.
They fired Major Applewhite for going 8-4.
Yeah, but, I mean, they thought they were. I don't think they're that type of a program.
Hey, it doesn't bother me to watch Dana lose. It doesn't, you know, good for JT, a little bit of a bounce back for him, 400 yards, and hopefully he continues to do that throughout the course of the season. And, you know, I want to see him end up at a camp somewhere. It didn't work out in West Virginia, but it's good. Hopefully it works out at Rice.
Got a former Big East game took place on Saturday. Two teams on the Mountaineers' schedule this year, Cincinnati knocking off Pitt 27-20. And Pitt looked awfully rough in this one.
Pitt's quarterback was 10 of 32. He threw 3 touchdowns. That's really good. But he was 10 for 32, and Pitt gave up over 200 yards rushing. That's not a recipe to win a lot of games. That's trouble for Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens coming up this Saturday night.
So along those lines, somebody said that we're actually going to win 9 games this year. And the way it's turning out, I don't know if it's not possible anymore because I thought Pitt was a lot better than what they were.
I thought I had Pitt as a loss preseason. Now I'm not so sure.
I'm like, wow. I mean, not that I'll ever pick Pitt to beat anything that has to do with West Virginia, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, that was shocking. You know, 10 for 32, that is horrible. How did he continue to play in that game? Like,
he's a transfer, I think.
He's a train wreck. That's what he is.
Of course, I honestly don't like when the team that you're playing the next week gets beat.
A loss.
And then you got to kind of, because they're fighting to not win two in a game, or not lose 2 in a row. But good for our conference friends over at Cincinnati. I think it's a big win for them.
That'll do it for our sports headlines as we transition to the backyard brawl.
Yeah, it's that time of the year, my favorite football week, and I'm glad that it's back. It's time for West Virginia Pittsburgh, and if Neil Brown doesn't get his head out of his rear and get his team moving and motivated for this game, he should be fired instantly after this game. Because here's the thing, like Bill Stewart said, it doesn't matter, it's Pitt.
If I hear it's only Pitt or only one, I'm sorry, if I hear it's only one game this week, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. I mean, this is the biggest game on your schedule, the biggest game in your career at West Virginia. You blow it to Pittsburgh at home, and you may not make it off of Don Neal Drive.
Not after, you know, Pitt being demolished. And like you said, them coming off of a loss, it makes it tougher. But they were looking to this game, in my mind. When a team loses, they were looking to that following week for that game. And if he doesn't go out there and prepare these players the way that it's supposed to be. I mean, the rival is the rival. You got to buy into it. And, you know, last year when he said what he said on a hot mic, you know, we should have fired him then because we knew it was a rest. It wasn't – the intensity wasn't there the way it's supposed to be.
If he thinks the fan base is restless right now, if they lose on Saturday night, oh, my goodness.
Let me tell you how important this game is. And, Avon, you were there for this in 99. Obviously, you guys didn't have a great season. Mm-hmm. Going into the Pitt game, you had won three games. You guys came out there and smoked Pittsburgh. Mark comes back and is healthy. Porter's at wide receiver. You guys go ham.
Yeah, we but killed
them. What was it like in the offseason? That was the bowl game. You're hyping the locker room. We beat Pitt. All's good.
You feel like, man, okay, we feel like you had a great year, even though we had a terrible year. I mean, but that game, I mean, just think about that game for us. For me, it put me over 1,000 yards. I had 210 yards. I set the record for Mountaineer Field that game, 210 yards rushing in that game. And it was the first time I ever rushed for 200 yards, and I was just like, oh, my goodness. And now you start to feel, you know, you get Coach Nealon in your ear. Like, these guys, I hate these guys. These guys, I'm like, wow. Like, I'm not knowing, you know what I mean? The first game was away, and I'm on the scout team just going hard. But and then Bolger comes back and goes crazy. Porter catches – I mean, he just – it was insane. And we just all had a great game, and it was big. It was big for everybody.
Yeah, so that's how important this game is. So let's talk about it. Let's get it in. West Virginia Pitt and Morgantown in front of the lights, in front of a sold-out crowd on ABC. Michael, prediction time.
Can't lose this one. We've covered that. I mean, when conference realignment happened and this rivalry went away, that was so bad for the university. Absolutely. Really both schools. So it's going to be fun just to hear that chant reverberating around Morgantown.
What chant's that?
Yeah.
Caroline.
This is the radio version.
Give me West Virginia 27-10. Give me a dominant performance. We're going to rely on that front seven. Lee Koba gives you a double-digit tackle performance. I think that Jalen Anderson will break a run. Offensive line, front seven, step up and will the Mountaineers to victory.
Absolutely.
I think this is going to be a battle of wills here. This is going to be I think West Virginia is actually going to win this game. This kind of reminds me of the Virginia Tech game a couple years ago where I didn't know how good Virginia Tech was. I don't really know how good Pitt is. I don't have it 27-10. I think we're going to see a little bit closer of a game. I'm going to take it 23-20, West Virginia. I think Donaldson will make enough plays in the run game with Green, and they're going to beat Pitt on a late field goal.
I think it's going to be one of those games where you see Donaldson break out. This is going to be his coming out because he wanted to do it against those other backs that he was playing against in Penn State, and it didn't happen. But now I truly believe this game is going to be the game where he may even break a Mountaineer rushing record, field record. And, I mean, that's like 385.
He's got to go ham like Tavon.
And I believe that he can because of, you know, what's building in him. He hasn't had it yet, and he's the guy. And then you had a young guy come out last week and go crazy. I mean, West Virginia, it's going to be 35-21, and, I mean, it's going to be a dominant performance by us.
Hey, listen, I'm excited about this one. I love West Virginia this weekend just because of the home game. And I think this team got a little taste of it last year, being up 13 and letting it slip out of their hands. And they got to feel and hear the reaction of the fan base, of what it means to the fan base. If that was anybody else and you lose that game, nobody goes nuts and they don't pay attention to it. I like West Virginia 28, Pitt 14, Donaldson runs for 210. And the Mountaineers sting country roads at the end of the night. So there you have it, folks. Thank you guys for listening to the Touchdown City Show this week. We'll catch you next week.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.